Good morning to all of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, the Master Teacher, who we've already heard about, the Teacher of Teachers. The last Teacher Inspiration Day, the speaker of the morning mentioned that the school board is very intimidating. That's a bit reversed here this morning. There's also a bit of intimidation, but it's kind of turned around. We read many times in the Gospels that when the people crowded around Jesus, he opened his mouth and taught them. Many times it says he opened his mouth and taught them, and truly he taught them many things, and we also learn from those teachings today. But I believe the greatest teaching that Jesus ever did are found in two words that he told to Peter and Andrew when they were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They were putting out their net. And Jesus came walking along the seaside and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." That has a lot to do with our topic this morning. Students don't only need to learn, they need to see what they learn through the eyes of their teacher. They not only need to know, they need to know what to do with what they know. And for the many beads of knowledge you give them, you also need to supply them the string, a philosophy of life for them to put it all together. Influence over intellect. As a group of school teachers, you look at this title. I wonder what you anticipate to hear. I wonder what you think of. Maybe you're bracing for a lecture from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. I don't know if you're familiar with that verse. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I don't intend to do that at all. It would be very awkward for me to speak on that verse, the danger of expanding knowledge to a group of people who have been hired to do that, to nurture and grow the intellect of children. This is what you do. This is what you're hired to do. What is intellect? Intelligence, the power of the mind to grasp ideas and relations. That is intellect. We're going to draw something here to illustrate intellect. Like an intellect this morning to a staircase. Every day you add a board or a nail or a bit of glue to the staircase of knowledge in your students. This is good. This is what you must do. You're a teacher. As you're erecting this staircase, there's something more important than this. Something of more lasting value, something that will make a bigger difference, and something that will have an impact on the eternal destiny that children may choose. It's something that's being caught while you teach. The saying, "more is caught than taught," is an old saying, and maybe teachers struggle to believe that one when all you do is teach. From 9 till 3, you teach. I'm not here to push that point this morning, but I am here to tell you that what they catch while you teach is tremendously important because the shelf life on that is much longer than what you teach. In one sense, it never dies. Listening to a teacher, you might not like this, but it's true, you'll do it to me too. We keep his message in our minds and unconsciously throw away his words. Afterwards, we say, let's see, how did he say that? After a few weeks or months, you usually forget the message. There may come a time we even forget the teacher, but still, he influences us. So what is influence? The power of persons or things to produce effects on others, especially by imperceptible or indirect means. Another one, one who or that which possesses the power to affect others, especially indirectly. And we want to highlight that fact of indirectly as we think of influence. We're going to consider influence here. Excuse the drawing, but we're going to consider influence this morning, the structure that holds up this staircase. Teaching intellect without good influence is like erecting a staircase without a foundation or structure to support it. Some synonyms for influence would be affect, move, sway, persuade, and mold. So we influence another's actions or thoughts, but we affect his emotions. Influence implies a greater degree of control than that of effect. It is often more permanent in its results. We move or sway someone to make a decision or go in a certain direction and persuade him to adopt a view or begin an action and mold his character. I want to inject now that I believe the public schools, the government-run schools, also value influence over intellect. You can think about that, and we'll touch on that later. Probably most, if not all, teachers in this room, you have had the opportunity, if that's what you call it, to be teaching when you notice a student who's not paying attention in class time. They look troubled, turning a little pale. You call the parents and the child is picked up at noon. And for the next week, the number of students in your class ranges from maybe 4 to 17 students. What has happened at school? Something has entered your classroom. You didn't hear it, see it coming, but it came. A contagious, infectious virus flowed into your classroom. We call these things influenza. As a silent visitor, it came, and very indirectly, it had the power to change the landscape of your classroom. Your senses don't see it coming, but the results are very obvious. This is how influence works. And if you'd look through the dictionary, and you teachers probably know all these things, influence and influenza are almost the same word. Influenza is just associated with physical illness. Influenza. It means inflowing. It's that which flows in. So influence will happen. It cannot be stopped. So the question is not, how can we create influence at school? It's also not, how can we stop influence at school? But the question this morning is, what kind of influence am I bringing to school? And clearly, the most central influence at school, in any school, is the teacher. Not the textbooks, not the rules, not the chairman, but it's you. You are influential. And if you realize that, and you multiply that by 10 or 20, it's got to be at least 10. If you think you're influential, use some multiplication. Then you might be closer to right. You are very influential. Mark Hopkins, some of you will know that name, and you will know what I'm about to read. Mark Hopkins sat on one end of a log, and a farm boy sat on the other. Mark Hopkins came as a pedagogue and taught as an elder brother. I don't care what Mark Hopkins taught, if his Latin was small and his Greek was not. For the farm boy, he thought he, and through the lecture time and quiz, the kind of man I mean to be is the kind of man Mark Hopkins is. Probably every teacher in this room has one student or several students that want to be just like you. And if they get asked why, often there's not much of an answer, at least I find, but they admire their teacher. Usually, for sure, the younger children. If not their own teacher, they will admire the senior teacher. Flawless. And I will add to that, for over here, if you are a man, then you may be thought of as similar to God. How you relate to people and life must be sort of how God does things. You are their father at school. And if you feel that I'm picking on the teachers today, then that's what I intend to do. This is teacher day. So if you think that Sammy's parents would only do their duty at home, or if Brother Chairman would have a talk with Murray and get him to respect me for once, that's not the topic for today. We're talking to teachers intentionally. So it might go a bit heavy on that side. There's more sides to some of these things. What is education's purpose? Why do you teach children? What makes you go to school? What motivates you to have a devotional ready by 8:45? Or what motivates you to have the math lesson looked over and thoroughly taught, and then stand beside absent-minded Betsy's desk to re-explain the whole thing? Christopher Dock of the 1700s has some thoughts on this. He said, "Education's purpose is to make us as like Christ as possible." This simple statement was Dock's single and undivided goal in instruction, discipline, and prayer. This is why at the end of each day, we see those pictures where he knelt with his roll book spread before him and prayed for each student, and that's how he died. He was keenly conscious of his own lack of power to change the stubborn heart and therefore practice an unequaled plan for in-service growth, daily prayer for God's help and direction in all of his work with the children. Now, I mentioned earlier that I believe government-run schools also place a higher value on influence than intellect. Maybe the directors of these schools would not agree, but I think that's how it is. The prince of this world is behind it all. If the philosophy that 2 plus 2 equals 4, only if you want it to, then the power of the mind to grasp ideas is nullified. You see what happens when the influence is wrong. Suddenly we kick out the braces, and the foundation crumbles, and the props lean, and the staircase of intellect falls. What good are stairs on the ground? And you say this is far from us. I trust it is. But the carnal nature isn't that far from us, is it? Is this not the reason we have our Christian day schools? Is this not why they began? Because of influence? Parents who saw influences upon their children and they understood the power and the long-lasting results of them. They saw the philosophies affecting the way their children thought and related to life. Some say if we teach our children properly at home, then they can withstand whatever pressure is out there, stand on their own 2 feet in any environment and come out right. This may sound good, but we stick our heads in the sand if we think children won't be affected by the influences they're under. This is similar to standing up in your classroom that day you have 4 students and boldly saying that I trust God, and when the influenza sweeps through, it won't affect me. Remember, it's a similar word. Even the Bible says that we are affected by influence. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The opposite is also true. If our children went to a secular school and learned all kinds of false ideas and concepts, it would be very simple for me to explain to my child that we believe differently because we love the Lord and they do not serve God. That would not be so difficult for a parent to do every night after school, to screen through everything they learned and then say, this is false and this is false because we love the Lord and they do not. But if this begins to happen in the Christian day school, then our foundations are crumbling. Our school boards try hard to hire you teachers that are respected, that are mature, that are a faithful member of a church, that are a lover of children, and a lover of God. It's to be someone who can honor and support the church that the school is from. And I would just say to teachers, don't let your school board down. Don't let the school parents down. Our schools are to be a place where parents can bring their children and leave them there, fully trusting that what they learn from their teacher, there may be other things that go on at school sometimes, but what they learn from their teacher will be a blessing in their life. Your task as a teacher is high above the task of other teachers. Is as high above the task of other teachers as flying is above hopping. Like them, you need to transmit your own fire of attitude. But unlike worldly teachers, you need to point students to the Holy Spirit who will kindle a flame you cannot light for them, a fire which they must get from God Himself. Now you're thinking, I thought this was the job for pastors. They want me to do everything. Now I need to teach arithmetic, and I need to preach. Well, as Bible-believing and practicing people, we have one common goal, don't we? We work together on that goal, to point people to the kingdom of God. So now imagine if your pastor never said what time church started because he teaches faith. And the school teacher teaches time. We work together on these things. So hopefully we all believe the importance of good influence at school, and that it is superior to intellect. Not because intellect is not important, but intellect needs something to stand on. Now, how do we accomplish this? Is there a solution to this great task? Is there a way? In Luke 6, verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Your influence springs from your treasure box. What really means most to you will show. And your students will know it before the chairman knows. They will know it before their parents know. They will feel it. You may turn to Psalm 1 if you have your Bibles. We'll just consider a couple verses there. I'm sorry, Leon, what was my closing time?
10:10.
Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." These are very interesting verses. What is your delight? Whom do you truly love the most? Jesus asked Peter that. What do you drink from? Are your roots tapped into this river that flows from God himself? Do you meditate on him? Is his holy word your favorite textbook? Christopher Dox was accused of using the Bible as his main textbook. Not a terrible accusation. Is the love you show to the children a love that is flowing from this love that flows from God himself? And if your answer is yes to all of these, then it says prosperity is yours. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Christopher Dock had a love for children. He considered that love to be his single most important teaching qualification. Divinely given to be divinely used. Now, how does this work itself out in real school life? When this meeting is over and I go back home and you go back to the classroom, can we make this a little bit practical? How does it work out? This wellspring from within. It needs to spring from within. It is possible for us to go through most of the proper motions and paint the right picture for our students. It's possible to do that to some degree. But the spring will come forth and shine through our lives. So where do we start on this? What matters at school? The school board has their place to fill in this, and we're not going to try research that all out. But they care about influences at school. If they care what books are in your library, and they have a higher standard for that bookshelf than they would in their homes, then I think you have a good school board. The books on that shelf, the children should be able to pick up freely and read through them in their spare time, it's fine. A high standard. What's your level of respect to the authority at school in your life? Do you ever make comments to your students that we were gonna go for a hike, but chairman said shouldn't? We usually go sledding, but school board just doesn't think it's necessary this year. It's probably true. What do you feel towards authority in your life? Very important how we feel in our heart about the authority that God has placed into our life. Your students will pick up on this one for sure. And it will also backfire. You are their authority at school. Time will only tell what they think of what their teacher says. Optimism. What do we do when the weather's stormy and the children all come stumbling in, kind of gray? I would just say optimism, but be real. It is a stormy day. And maybe the school board should have canceled. But let's be optimistic. That can also spring from within our treasure box. Be dignified. Is dignity out of place for a school teacher? Are we somehow advanced beyond that with the Holy Spirit in our lives that we don't need to be dignified? Or is it the other way? We are the authority at school, and we dare never forget that throughout the day. There shouldn't be a time of day when it just would seem really inappropriate to pray because we're kind of not quite in that kind of a dignified way. You're the teacher. What about order? Orderliness. What kind of influence are you impressing upon the children in order? Do they know what's coming? What's happening today? How it's going to happen? Is there order in their life? It gives them a place of rest, structure that they can study well. Respecter of persons. How do we fare on this one? Parents relate to this. I think school teachers relate to it in a magnified way, because now you have the Martins and the Weavers and the everybody in between. And they all come into a pool, and brother or sister so-and-so is supposed to love them all the same. How do we do this? Very big job. I've already been at school, and I can't believe how well the teachers do. That's why preachers need to visit school. This is a big task, and you need the love of God in your heart to carry this one out. No respecter of persons. There's Benny down the bench. He doesn't even have to try. He gets his work all right. Really flawless behavior. He even helps the other students on the playground, but he still always wins. Not hard to love Benny. And then there's the one who never plays, doesn't even try, criticizes the ones who do make mistakes, and so on. No respecter of persons. It takes Christ's love for this. How do we play with our children at school? There's a lot we can teach as we play with children. And as I thought about this, maybe you have a school day when this time of year you're still skating, some of you, and maybe you have a parents' day when the moms and dads come and you have a skating party. I think the dads do kind of poor at this one. But how do we play with children? We can teach them the value of life, the value of their well-being over mine. We can teach them that their score is more important than mine. If you're a teacher, pass to your students. You shouldn't make many scores in the day. You can be an exceptionally good player, make every perfect pass without making a score. Your team might only make one score, and it might be because of your perfect pass. But make sure your team's not always the winning team. Make sure that you pass to that player who's missed it the last 10 times. Today might be her score. Safety. You're the one that can play the best. You're one that can shoot the hardest. Maybe. Maybe you have some grade 10 boys that can run circles around you. That's fine. But if your students cringe when you shoot the puck or you kick the soccer ball at them, there's something you can tweak there. Influence. They should not be afraid of you or what you're going to do. It's fun to watch adults play with children that the goalie's standing there and very attentive and excited for what's going to happen, or else they're flinching and they hope they won't get hurt. You're valuing their well-being more than making a score. Because really, what's a score? Then you just, the game stops for a bit anyway. Let's let them make the score. How loose are we? I talked a bit about dignity. Do we dress like the school board wants us to dress? Does dress matter? Maybe you think it does. Maybe you think it doesn't. Think about dignity, being dignified. Make sure you respect your school board in this. Your students will also know you for how you respect in areas like this. Always put others first. It's not my day. I'm at work and it's the student's day. Show the value of each life. Many, many ways to do this. It's about people. It's about souls. And another one that probably some of you don't really like. And it's this one. Remember that you're the teacher wherever you go. When you slide into church, maybe you're just 18, and you just started teaching. You're a teacher from 9 till 3:30. But to your students on Sunday morning when you slide on the back bench, you are their teacher. When they see you walking down the street in town, you are their teacher. You are the authority in their life at school all the time. If you're the careless driver going down the road, you're their teacher. If you're sleeping in church, you're their teacher. All the while influencing these children. And we kind of want to release ourselves from such a high standard, but it's just the way it is. If you want to be a teacher, then you are a teacher all the time. In the summer holidays, you are still their teacher. I went to school down in this basement, and we had a few long-term teachers, and it was always Sister Loreen, and it was always Sister Donna. It still is for me. They're still Sister Loreen and Sister Donna. They just have to live with that, I guess. Remember that you're influencing the students all the time. Doc believed that children were entrusted to parents by God, and that parents in turn entrusted them to their teacher. He also believed that the church and home and school were all subservient to their head, Jesus Christ. And that's how he taught. Thus, teaching for Doc was a divine and sacred trust. So now there's lots of questions. Be understanding with the parents. If a mother comes and has some challenges with how you're doing things and just seems concerned, doesn't really say much, but you know she's troubled, I would just encourage you to listen. One thing that happens to all of us, we're in authority. We're the authority at school, and we kind of bristle if someone enters our territory. But be very careful with that bristling in this situation, because these children were entrusted to their parents, and that mother bore that child, and she is responsible for that child whether you are teaching it or not. And she actually has the authority to say, my child won't come back to school. I trust that wouldn't need to happen. But the parents do have that sacred trust, and they are extending that trust to you. It is very divine and sacred trust. Children in our care, especially as we think of influence. Remember the staircase. I hope we didn't in any way diminish the importance of you teaching intellect, but I would rather have my child on the third step with good foundation under him, ready to stand the tests that this world would bring to him in life. Rooted on the foundational principles of God's word and Jesus Christ, I would rather have him there than be up on the eighth platform with only one or two stabilizers left in, and it's only a matter of time until everything falls. May God bless each one of you teachers who build upon the chief cornerstone to continue to support the staircase of intellect.